He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
To see the relationship get to kind of that part, to that point. And by the way, it's a long time coming. You know, the fact that the Lakers basically haven't trusted that LeBron would hold up the way that he has while he is held up for an extra, what do you think, Harrison? Like, realistically, we probably would have said a few years ago that, like, by the time he gets to 40, he would probably be a pretty diminished player. He's way, like, it's crazy that
way better than I would have guessed at this age.
Yeah. And yet he has nothing at all to show for the efforts that it took to remain as good as he is. So, you know, and by the way, like,
and so someone, yeah,
you have people legitimately questioning, like, hey, is this guy still a 16 win player, you know, because of the playoff shortcomings that the Lakers have had, while, again, we have spent so much time on this show and every show has spent so much time talking about how the Lakers haven't fully committed, haven't gone all in on the LeBron at the end of the LeBron AD era. If we can acknowledge that, then we should also be able to empathize with LeBron being frustrated over it. That's a part of that I don't get, is Lakers fans not being able to understand LeBron's frustration while you literally share them.
Yeah.
None of us like Rob Pelinka.
Only we can be mad at Rob.
Yeah. I don't get that.
Yeah.
I want to talk about go ahead.
The only other thing that I was going to mention that the comments brought up, the additional part of this from the Rich Paul playbook, was like when he was pushing back on like the speculation that LeBron wants out, he's like, you know, I had four teams call me. We didn't have any substantive conversations. It's like, wait a second, but you had conversations? What's a substantive conversation? Like, LeBron's under contract. Like, I don't, you know, what's going on here? Again, it's just like, it's more like we are leaving the door open to go to our next destination.
And it's
in the Lakers court.
That word has people in hell this offseason. It's substantive. I saw poor Dave McMenamin said it was substantiative, which is substantiative would be like it was grounded in or
substantiated,
you know,
is different. Yeah.
Yeah. But he said substantiative. And I was like, no, that's not the word. And then
look, we've all mispronounced stuff on the,
no,
on
I'm
video.
Saying yeah. Everybody Please struggling with that word specifically yeah. has been funny. But yeah, I want to talk about the Project Giannis aspect of this. Here's my problem with it, Harrison. When the Lakers got LeBron, right, they moved money the moment they needed to move money, right? They needed to move Jordan Clarkson. They needed to move Larry Nance. They needed to do those things. They did it the moment they needed to. And
well, the trade deadline before.
No, but that's what I'm saying is that, like, I think they had heard the reason they made that trade. I would imagine this is I wasn't reporting stuff. I wasn't talking to nearly the same number of people back then. But
do you think, like, it had something to do with Rich Paul sitting courtside with Jeannie Buss at every single Laker game that season?
But like, I would imagine when the Lakers made that trade, they knew what they were doing, right?
Yeah.
And now with Giannis, we somehow need to watch the Lakers actively make the Lakers worse during 2 years of Luka's prime for the eventual flexibility to maybe get Giannis. That's the part of this that bothers me. You already
they have a young core now. They have the number one and number three picks in the 2018 draft. What do you mean worse?
But like, I you know, this like, cause I listened to LFR, and I'm going to talk to Pete about this when he does the show next. So Pete, heads up. But they were talking about, like, Wiggins and why they're skeptical that the Lakers have talked to Miami substantively about about Andrew Wiggins. And one, they have, like, you know, that there have been conversations. I'm just flat out saying it, that those conversations have taken place. Now, I also can tell you that they don't want to give up the first round pick, not because of flexibility for 2027, but because I don't think Andrew Wiggins is worth a first round pick more than Rui Hachimura. Right. But part of the reason that they were kind of skeptical that the Lakers were in on Wiggins was because of the money that would be on his contract, beyond this season. And I think all it is a player option after this year for $30 million. Now, after that season, he would
have a lot of Andrew Wiggins.
He would have a cap hold the following year after that contract is over. But like, I don't think you would ever struggle to move Andrew Wiggins on a $30 million expiring contract. I just don't see a world in which, like, if the Lakers got wind that they needed to be more flexible to bring in Giannis, they wouldn't be able to do that in the same way that they did with Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance Jr. before they got LeBron. Also,
there's also we know that the media math will change as soon as Wiggins is a Laker. And it's like, you know, the Lakers need to attach two first round picks to get off of this gigantic $30 million deal.
But like the other thing, too, is, and I know Luka is obviously a unique situation in that Nico lost his godforsaken mind, but the Lakers hadn't been positioning themselves for years for Luka either. Right. Like it was, he just landed in their lap. And now I did float the theory out there last night in Slack that maybe Jackson Hayes is Luka's KCP and that like he allowed the
Lakers. It's not a bad theory, you know, like it's,
but like, it makes me like, I don't know, when I hear about like, oh, the Lakers can't do this, or they can't add this player, or they can't do this because they got to keep their options open, or they won't do this because they're trying to keep their options open for 2027. You can do that if your team sucks. You can do that if you don't have anybody else. You don't do that while you have Luka Doncic here. Also, you don't do that while Luka, you know, is yet to sign his extension. Like, I wouldn't, now maybe the Lakers are just that confident. Maybe they've already, you know, heard from Luka and maybe that's part of the reason that they got Ayton, right? Was that a Luka is probably going to sign his extension. Wouldn't surprise me. It would actually shock me if he didn't sign his extension, but still like it's a difficult task. It's a tough sell. Huh?
I wouldn't be shocked
if he didn't just sign his extension.
It's so much less than he could have gotten from the Mavs. And it's like, what is he, you know, what has he seen from the Lakers at this point to where he's like, I need to commit right now.
I don't know, but my point either way, like whether people agree with you or with me is that like, while you were trying to convince him to stay, you shouldn't be talking about a potential free agent 2 years from now. And by the way, how is Giannis going to age? He can't shoot very well.
He'd still only be, I looked this up.
He's
yesterday.
Be 32. He's
still 32 or 33. Like right in that range.
Yeah.
And, you know, he'll still probably be pretty, with the way we've seen LeBron age, you're telling me that Giannis can't still be like really athletic and like, you know, dangerous in transition and in the open floor and all of that stuff at 32. Like, yes, he can.
Maybe. Yeah, probably. But I
doubt he adds a three like LeBron has. And that'll be the big differentiator of why, like, Giannis probably isn't playing till 40. You know, but
that's part of why, like, I'm just not willing to, while they have Luka, watch the Lakers just kind of fuck around for 2 years in the hope of maybe getting Giannis in 2027. That's just, maybe
it's stupid and it's an uncreative plan. It's like, that's the thing, is these smart front offices that, you know, that
this is a great point here too from Sri, I think it's Karan, but Giannis has been injured the last four playoff runs. That's an important thing to note, but sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, Anthony, with the Lakers training staff, I think that's going to,
it's help. True. It's fine.
Well, actually with the Lakers, probably new training staff that they're going to get with the new ownership, actually that, you know, hey, maybe that's a good bet.
Maybe they hire the people who have kept LeBron healthy.
Yeah. Mike Mantzias, you want you need a new job? LeBron's gonna retire eventually, right? You want to be Giannis's guy?
Honestly, that would be such an inspired hire. I'm not kidding. That would be
Cool. I mean, you know, it's like, look, LeBron to some degree, like LeBron is LeBron. And so like with all due respect to Mike Mancias, it's like even he would probably say like LeBron is one of one. Like it's not he's not doing magic to allow LeBron to play this. It's like LeBron is LeBron. But, you know, clearly that's a guy who has some, you know, like at the very least an incredible resume to come in and like sort of be your guy, your keep your stars healthy guy. And much like that guy who was the Steve Nash trainer with the Suns, like got like a bunch of jobs off of that because he basically like Steve Nash had been like a physical wreck. And then all of a sudden was like, you know, a 2-time MVP and was able to stay healthy every year until he got to the Lakers. Regarding
Project, well, he didn't bring that guy with him to the Lakers is the problem.
Yeah, unfortunately. Well, they didn't have the money for that, Anthony. Project 2027, it's just like it's an uncreative plan in the sense of these smart front offices, they can move off of money. They can, yes, they can wave and stretch guys. They can trade guys. They can find, like, you know, they turn over every rock and find the one team who wants player X more than anyone else and can flip him for, you know, like they can flip Isaac Okoro for Lonzo Ball, you know, on the fly. And they can, you know, like the Thunder are constantly sort of flipping like guys in and out at the back end of the roster and making trades where they have salary cap space and they're taking on money and they're taking on draft picks for the future that they can then use to incentivize and grease up a trade down the line. And you know, the thing is, it's just like it's completely uncreative, and it's like back, it's thinking, it's building for the NBA a decade ago to be like, we need to keep our books clean for the next 2 years. We cannot take on any salary that extends beyond the next 2 years and use up that time, because that's the only way that we can have space to go get Giannis. It's like, that's just not the case. You can trade for contracts that you can move contracts. And, you know, you have to be more creative than that. Guys don't move just in straight up free agency anymore anyway.
Well, that part. But also, it, you know, it's also to like I tweeted this out the other day. And the way that in the prior CBA and in prior CBAs, cap space was the way to be flexible, right? That was the way to acquire people or be the threat to acquire somebody. Now, the way to be flexible is to employ players other teams want.
Yeah.
Right. And that's how, like, you know, the fact that the Bulls like Isaac Okoro, that allowed the Cavs to trade for Lonzo Ball. The fact that, you know, the Suns like who's the Jalen, Green, right? Is it Green?
Good Shapino. Sorry.
But the fact that, yes, like, the fact that the Suns like so many of Houston's young guys, that, you know, Houston was able to move Jalen Green and still have him be considered, you know, somebody Phoenix.
They signed him to a contract that like half the league or probably more hated, but they found the one team that was willing to take it on and use it as salary ballast. Like, you need salary ballast for this stuff.
Yeah. And you know, what the Lakers, you know, you mentioned this in a really bad analogy the last time you were on the show, but the building blocks away, like the way that they build their,
yes. Yeah.
You know, where it's like they can only focus on one aspect of the project at a time, and there is no like piecing it back together at the end of it. No, it's that, like, all right, if the way that Rob kind of operates is, I can only maintain flexibility. I can't maintain flexibility and be good at the same time. I can only develop through youth. I can't develop through youth and have productive vets at the same time. I can like, it's not, you know, and all of these
we only have one person working in the front office, so we can only focus on one thing at once, you know. It's
oh, we have another LeBron tweet.
Somebody, I'm looking it up right now to see. I don't see anything new from him. I don't know what this person's talking about.
I see it. It's a reply. So LeBron to Hoop Central, who aggregated that picture of him. LeBron says he's been training there every summer since it was built.
Plausible deniability goat, you know?
Yeah.
Again.
Well, I don't think he's taken pictures there every year.
Again, you can't accuse him of doing anything because he can just say that this is normal and allowed.
Yeah. Gaslight is a thing.
The Lakers can go to him and be like, hey, what are you doing? And he's like, what? I'm just working out. I'm getting ready for the season.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not going to go so far as you do with the buyout, but I also share and I
you're telling me you don't think that if the Lakers came to him and offered him a buyout, he would take it.
No, I think he would have to approach them first and ask for it.
But I'm saying, like, do you think that, like, if they came to him and they said, do you want $50 million and pick your next destination? Like, what do you think he'd say? He'd say yes.
Yeah. Look, did you hear how happy Dame was about being waived and stretched by Milwaukee? He doesn't have to live in Milwaukee anymore. Like, he doesn't have to be coached by Doc Rivers anymore. So, yeah,
And again, the Bucks are an example where, you know, people were saying there's nothing they can do. They're trapped, whatever. They decide to waive and stretch Dame in a decision that may come back to bite them and be really stupid. But they were able to free up flexibility to sign Miles Turner to a bigger offer than the Pacers were making. Creative GMs, you can argue with the merits of some of these moves, but you can find ways to sign guys, bring guys in, make trades, whatever. You can't just say we're going to punt on 2 years with our superstar and like try to sign like these like reclamation projects and hope that DeAndre Ayton pans out and remembers how to be a good basketball player. And, you know, and then, you know, in 2027, we'll get you a star, Luka.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, just like I said a second ago, if LeBron is frustrated, so am I. So are we, right? Like,
you're always frustrated.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. But the Lakers always give me a reason to be frustrated, right? True. Like, this Hayes thing is so stupid.
Yeah.
This Hayes thing is just so dumb that, like, he's not a good... Like, here's the thing. People are taking it, like, my statements about this, and I rant and raved about it, so I'm not going to spend a ton of time on Hayes in this episode. But if you want more of my full thoughts, you can check out last night's lowdown. It's right there in the feed. But if like one of the unfortunate realities
watching the stream right now, do you think that's that? Why he like, do you think LeBron's watching the stream right now? Like, that's why he tweeted. He's like, they're Lakers Lounge doing an emergency show.
He literally told me to go make a plate.
Yeah.
I have the tri-tip and the sous vide, LeBron.
I can't believe LeBron just called you fat while we're on the air. That's unbelievable.
He and all of Twitter. But again,
plausible deniability. You can't say that he said that, you know? It's
one of these days I'm going to take one of those pictures of me with my shirt off and be like, I'm really not as fat as you guys think. I swear.
I'm going to, after the show, I'm going to take that tweet and I'm going to try and highlight out like Anthony Irwin from the words like A-N-T.
Oh man. Did you see like Domin tweeted out like all of the great centers and how they can make.
Yeah. Eaton, yeah.
And then Parker so Fleming, right.
Yeah. Yeah. Tweeted, yeah.
Like all of the bad Lakers centers. And it also can spell Eaton. It's really good. But anyway, like what I was going to say about Hayes, and how it kind of fits into like the fact that Rob cannot multitask. I am big bone. No, it's big faced is the problem. Like it's just that it's this shit.
You're like big it's bone. Like yeah, I'm sorry. I know you were talking. I just saw that comment and was like, so good.
Like I grant that I should lose some weight. I have been losing weight, but like I swear the way Twitter talks about it, you would think I'm a sumo wrestler. But yeah, like the to get back to like this notion of Rob not being able to multitask. A funny example of this, Harrison, is the fact that he can't have productive relationships with more than one agency at a time. That like that like
look, all these guys hate me. The only way that I can make them happy is by just like letting one of them run the team and then blaming them for any bad moves I make.
Like he's had this relationship with Clutch for 7 years. The second that they bring in Luka, Rich Paul is out there talking on the record to ESPN about this great partnership they had.
Yes, past tense. So, I speak about Anthony. I speak about everything in past tense all the time. Like, I tell my wife every day when she leaves for work, I'm like, you know, I've really enjoyed the time we've had together. And when she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, you know, I just mean I'm talking about all the past times that we've had together. I hope we have many more good times in the future, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, the Hastings is just so dumb because we have come to understand that the way the world works is really talented people get away with more.
Yeah.
Right. It's an unfortunate reality, but it's a reality. And like Hayes isn't that. He couldn't play in the playoffs. There is no explanation of like
your coach desperate. Just told you with his decisions that this guy is bad. And you're telling me that you couldn't again, this is the lack of creativity. You couldn't find any center that you're willing to take a gamble on that you think could maybe play in the playoffs when you know that this guy, your coach is not going to trust and play him in the playoffs. And then because of the way you're re-signing him, he gets a default no trade clause.
Yeah. That should make you less inclined to sign him. You know,
like so much for flexibility.
Yeah.
You're telling me you don't think there's a single center in the world that you're willing to take a gamble on could be better than Jackson Hayes as your backup, you know?
Yeah. And that, but that's the thing is that like it, and also, so the way that it was, I'll say it again. I said it on the lowdown. I'll say it again here. The way that it was kind of put to me going into the offseason is if Jackson Hayes is on the Lakers next season, he and the Lakers would have to reach a point of real desperation. The Lakers.
You're telling me the market wasn't frothy for Jackson Hayes?
Yeah, but like the thing with eight, like it'd be one thing if they didn't have Ayton on their team and they were that desperate, you know, that they needed any center. They need a center going into next season. I would still prefer Achiuwa. I would still prefer like they just, the Rockets just waived that white dude. What's his name? Anyway,
Jock Landale.
Landale.
I think it's Jock Landale and not Jack Landale. But
And so it's like I think there were other options, especially to be your backup, you know, and this idea that like it was like we really, and especially given the type of center that Ayton is, like that was another thing that I checked in was like this has to be just noise, right? And you know, the reason for it was, if you got your lob threat center or your pick and roll center in Ayton, the Lakers wanted, they told us this in the press conference, they also wanted a floor spacer. All Hayes is like a poor man's version of Ayton. And it's like, why bring somebody in who just last year was being investigated by, I think still is being investigated.
Well, the league hasn't said that they stopped investigating him.
But, yeah.
You know, my theory is that Joe Dumars was in charge of that and he got hired by the Pelicans and they're just like trying to still find his, like which direct report of his is in charge of it now.
Right. And so like the NBA was investigating Hayes or is investigating Hayes because of a video of a literal domestic violence incident that Hayes had charges pressed on him for. Like
I believe the court case is still ongoing.
Yeah. And so it's like you're going to welcome yourself. You're going to open yourself up to that bad PR again for Jackson Hayes. You know, like the year that they signed Kendrick Nunn, and Kendrick Nunn's was further behind him in his criminal history. But when they signed Kendrick Nunn, they got him at a discount, you know, because he thought Miami's offer was bad. And when they got Kendrick Nunn, it was like, I mean, whatever. I didn't like it, but it's like this is how the world works. And especially this is apparently specifically how Rob Pelinka thinks is like, if I can get a discount for anybody, for any reason, I'm going to take the discount. For this one here though, it's like you provided Hayes the only option he had. There weren't other teams that were like, man, I really need Jackson Hayes. Yeah. There was barely a market for him a couple of years ago before the video came out. The Pelicans told him to go away.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not good. I'm sorry. He's just not a good basketball player.
Yeah.
Either. It's just not worth it in any respect, but whatever. I mean, yeah.
Let's talk really quickly. Let's get out of here on a more positive note. A lot of people are asking about what's coming next. So the noise is still out there, and D'Anthony Melton is considered by many, there's a very high likelihood that D'Anthony Melton will be a Laker next year, and those conversations have continued, even though the Lakers don't have an open roster spot. I guess they could technically open up a roster spot by buying out LeBron.
LeBron sign and trade for D'Anthony Melton.
Yeah. Honestly, Harrison, that might kind of signal why the Lakers are treating this offseason the way that they do, and why they're talking so much about, you know, salary space or cap space in 2027, is because they see how this is where this is going with LeBron. And they know that, like, even if they have a productive offseason, they're probably going to lose this guy. I'm not saying that's definitely the case. I'm saying that could be one reading of the situation. But they could just waive Shake Milton. He has an unguaranteed salary that would completely off of the books after they waive him. So you open up the roster spot, you open up the space. As such, they would have access to their full biannual exception, which Melton is supposed to get at least a big chunk of it, if not all of it. And that's how you arrive at D'Anthony Melton being on the team.
Doesn't the BAE hard cap you?
Yeah, but they're already hard capped at the first apron anyway.
Okay.
It wouldn't change their season.
I hate the new CBA. Okay.
Yeah. So, for those of you who are kind of, you know, when I had Jovan on the show yesterday, all of the same stuff that I said then still remains true now, even while the Lakers have no roster spots technically for him. And then, you know, the other thing they could do, and the thing that I hope that they do, is making a consolidation trade, because they also prefer to go into seasons with an open roster spot and a first round pick. So I would probably anticipate some type of consolidation trade also to get a rotation player and open up that, you know, 15th roster spot going into the season. So those are the two things that I'm kind of looking at here. What do you think of D'Anthony Melton?
I think it's a huge if, obviously, at this point, if he can stay healthy. But for the, you know, for the amount of money that they're getting him, I think it's a decent gamble. You know, he would be, if he can play, a really good fit alongside Luka. But that's just a big if, you know, at this point, because we've seen him, you know, season after season now, he's just not able to stay on the court. And I hope as somebody who has suffered with back stuff, like I hope he is able to get his back right and come and play, because like that just sucks. And he's a really good player, and he was like a beloved role player by the Grizzlies. And then they just sort of decided as an organization that they didn't believe in his back long term. And it looked like that was so far the correct bet. But if the Lakers can
he tore his ACL. Like the thing that he's coming off of is an ACL tear.
Oh yeah, Melton. That's right. He had that too. Yeah. So again, it's just like, you know, if he can be healthy and play basketball, then, you know, that would be great. But there's obviously like an extensive injury history there, and there's a reason that he's available for what he's available for.
So yeah, I'm fine with it. They need point of attack defense. He's really good at that.
He's really good when he plays.
Yeah. I mean, shit, when he went to the Warriors, they were excellent whenever he was on the court. Like their team got a lot better anytime
he was on the court. He is like an Alex Caruso style, like what do we used to call
impact
him?
Defender.
Like a lubricator, like a guy who just plays better and makes stars work better.
Oh, together. Yeah. I think Raj uses the connective term for that.
That's probably a better term than
lubricator. Yeah, lubricator, you know, pause.
We call him the big lube.
Now that I am going to clip.
we can make like a hype mix for him with that as the starting clip if he plays really well this year, you know.
Big lube.
It's like we call him the big lube, and then and then all the hard music hits, and it's like him making amazing connective passes for corner threes, and you know, yeah.
Every time he makes a shot, people are going, "Loo!"
tube.
D'Anthony, we just lost the Lakers to D'Anthony Melton, I think. Like, he's like, I already had to deal with Warriors fans last year, whatever crazy shit they probably said about him. You know, yeah. It's
unbelievable.
Got Samus Fondiari and Andy Lou probably had some way crazier nickname for him. And, you know, now he has to, he's like, I got to sign with the Pelicans, just like someone that they don't have, you know. The crazy podcasters.
We have one starred comment here. We'll go ahead and get back to our 4th of July activities. By the way, 4,400 of you guys here in the room, please do hit that subscribe button. Please hit that like
4,400 on July. Wow.
I've always said Twitter kind of inflates that.
No, you know, they don't. But that's real. 4,400 Lounge Army. Thank you for lounging with us.
But you know what? It looks good. Like, it looks good up on the corner. Let's really quickly get to the super comment, which means we get to play this one. Watch it!
I'm disappointed it's not from LeBron.
No. Yeah, we got the super comment, so we get to play this one.
That's a motherfucking shot. Shit. Over the trees, huh?
Whoa. Ain't no 2 days the same, huh?
it's
immediate. That's me every time that's me every time I get a text message that's like, can you believe what Anthony just said?
I will never not laugh, because anybody who has ever played golf can relate to this specific moment.
That's a motherfucking shot.
Who bleeped it? Does he have a guy following him around just like hitting a bleep sound effect whenever he...
Ain't no 2 days the same,
huh? I ain't no, man. I'm just trying to...
I also like, he has a really good friend there who's just like, you know, you were good yesterday.
Yeah, he said champ. So I was like, is that J.R. Smith? Like, I don't... Because I know that he calls him that, but he calls all his former teammates that have won titles with him that. So I don't know.
It's just such a good clip, dude. It is so fucking funny. Because every single person... So I've told you guys already on the show, but I have that bucket golf thing. I went out and bought that bucket golf thing, and it doesn't matter if I'm merely just chipping the ball in my backyard. Every so often you duff one, and it's just like, motherfuck, how did you duff it chipping? Like, it's just, golf does that to people, which was the point of the tweet that I sent. All right. Start comment here comes from Roberto. Don't blow yourself up. Buy tacos instead.
Wow. Call back to the beginning of the show. If you jumped in halfway through, that's going to make no sense. But Anthony was threatening to, sacrifice.
Shouts to Roberto. That was a good comment.
$1.99 probably gets you a taco somewhere, right? You know, it's $2 taco places.
On Taco Tuesday, probably. Yeah. I would say.
You got to play that sound effect from LeBron.
I just got to play it one more time. I can't stop watching it.
That's a motherfucking shot.
It's the right after he knows it's gone.
Do you think that was actually a good shot?
Ain't no 2 days the same, huh?
Ain't no, man. I'm just trying to get better, champ. Let's keep stacking the days.
Let's go.
So talking shit in golf, you know he's sorry. Like,
where he wanted it to go. Based on his reaction. Yeah.
Well, because he also said, like, that's a fucking shot.
He sounds very resigned as he's walking away. So
yeah. I wonder.
Resigned? Yeah. Resigned? Is it a message to the Lakers about that he wanted?
He's resigned to the idea that he had to resign. Yep.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. As I say always before these big weekends or during these big weekends, please be safe. You know, alcohol and fireworks, not necessarily the best combination. Alcohol and driving after said fireworks is an even worse one. So please be safe and enjoy your weekend and enjoy your family and all that good stuff. And then on Sunday, I'll be back here to recap. And obviously, also, if we get any kind of breaking news, I'll jump in and break that down too. But a buyout, for example. I would probably do an emergency show on Harrison. Would if there is a buyout, can I just jot you down as my guest for that emergency pod?
No.
Damn. You wouldn't want to take your victory lap?
No, I'll say maybe. It's going to, you know, my wife's only day off this week is tomorrow. So I don't know. If we're like out somewhere, I'm not going to do it.
I don't think you would get a buyout tomorrow.
I'm just saying, if it's tomorrow.
I don't think he's going to get a buyout anyway. God, please don't clip that shit. It's
coming. Per Anthony Irwin, LeBron buyout not coming tomorrow.
Yeah. Great. All right. How going, everybody? Hold on. We're done.
Bye, everyone.